This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. SB 2 is a controversial property tax reform plan. Its champions say it will end that shocker property tax bill. It would require local Texas governments to hold tax rollback elections when property tax revenues increase more than 5%. Today, elections come when that revenue hits 8%. SB 2 passed the Texas Senate and now goes to the House, where it faces tougher opposition. Later, we're going to hear from Bexar County Judge Nelson Wolf about his opposition to SB 2. And the Bexar County Chief Appraiser Michael M. Mesquita and Daniel Gonzalez, the Legislative Affairs Director for the Texas Association of Realtors. But first, Texas Senator Paul Bettencourt of District 7, the chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Property Tax Reform and Relief, along with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, he's the man behind SB 2.
The rationale is simple. Property tax bills are exploding across the state of Texas for both home and business owners. And the reason is real simple. As values go up, tax rates never come down. And so your tax bill goes up. And in fact, in many areas of the state, including recently in the San Antonio area, you'll see your property values for homes go up 8, 9, 10% a year, and the tax rates aren't cut, so therefore your tax bill's up 8 or 9 or 10% a year. That's not good public policy, because you can't have tax bills growing 2 1/3 times faster than income for homeowners. And quite frankly, what's happening to business owners is they're seeing 15 to 20% increases across the board. And that's putting a lot of pressure, especially on small business.
So when you say that evaluations are going up, but the tax rate never comes down, is that never a hard never?
No, I mean, probably the correct pronunciation should be rarely. So what we've seen is, when you look at especially the major urban areas, until 2016, there had been many of the urban areas had 5 years of the same tax rate, but they had exploding appraised value growth. And for example, Bexar County, and I'm going from memory, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, is from 2013 to 2016 had a 36% increase in appraised value. The tax rate stayed the same, and they had $110 million more dollars come into the county's coffers over that period of time. That's just too high of a rate of growth of government, and taxpayers can't afford that bill over the long term.
Critics of SB 2 say that this will not do much for the average citizen of Texas other than take away essential services.
Well, they don't understand the bill, or they don't want to tell the truth about what's going on with the bill. Let me try to do both. What happens with SB 2 is that there is an old piece of statutes called the rollback rate. And what we're doing is we're taking the rollback rate back to 5%, which is the rate that triggers an election process. This will be as low as it's been since 1979. And what that sets up is a simple equation, which is 5% plus the value of new construction. And if the taxing jurisdiction is above that, under SB 2, they'll have to go to an automatic taxpayer ratification election in November. Now, in addition, there is we change the nomenclature and actually bring back the notices that describe what happens to homeowners instead of the gobbledygook that exists now that people read in the paper and they can't understand. It will just show that the average home is going up in value. If the tax rates stay the same, if the home goes up 10% in value and the tax rate stays the same, then the tax bill will go up 10%. And we're changing the nomenclature to something that's understandable, which is if a taxing jurisdiction moves for a tax rate higher than what they would have received last year, it would used to be called the effective rate. We're calling that the no new taxes rate. So if they vote for a tax rate above that, it's going to be obvious to the public they're getting a tax increase as well.
But when people say it won't do much for the average citizen except take away essential services, I think they're referring to how much money they will actually save, a homeowner will save on their tax bill, but they will, you know, this will hurt cities in the paving of streets and hiring of law enforcement.
Well, the cities can't have it both ways. They can't say that this is going to be really injurious to them and then say that the homeowners save nothing. That's not logical. Now, let me explain that if you have essential services right now, police, fire, EMS, that this will not cut them. This is not a tax cut. It is a slowing of the growth of tax bills. That's why it's called tax relief and reform. And it's important that we understand the difference between the two. So what we're asking government to do, which is what we're asking homeowners every day in their life, because that's just the way the economy works, and businesses because of competition, they've just got to control their budget. So instead of growing it, you know, 10, 11, 12% a year, they need to be looking at growing at, you know, 6, 7, 8% a year. And that's important because it's the growth of government expenditures that drive budgets, which drive the need for revenue. Now, when you look at tax bills specifically, you know, remember this will apply to every taxing jurisdiction, you know, on the, you know, on the tax bill. It will apply to the county, apply to the cities, apply to the special districts. So if there's a high growth area, then it will start cutting the tax rates, and you know a penny here and there among taxing jurisdictions adds up, because every year is cumulative. See, we've lost the understanding of what used to be common about passbook savings back in you know the 70s when there there used to be an interest rate where people would see their money grow over time. Well, the problem now is that they see their tax bills growing over time, and there's no break on it. So a tax rate cut, and for example, there were several cities that cut their tax rate for the first time after the interim committee went through that city. It meant that the rate was lowered by, in some cases, 2 or 3 pennies, and that means that that tax rate cut is still there the next year. And if they have to lower it again, let's say by a half a penny or a penny, it's all cumulative over time, and that's what saves saves taxpayers money going forward.
So you say it's not logical, but as I understand the logic that's being presented by the cities and the counties is that this doesn't hit everyone evenly. This is a bigger giveaway for big property owners like refineries and strip malls. Also, that we have, you know, economy of scale, that a homeowner may save a few dollars, but when you put all those few dollars together that you're taking away from the county coffers, you're talking about a lot of money that pays for a lot of services. For example, the city of San Antonio sent out an email opposing this bill. They say this is only going to provide $4.30 a month savings for a homeowner, and that's going to mean that we're going to lose, they say, 580 police officers.
Okay, well, that's just false on its face. Let me take the math so you understand.
Sure.
$4.30, okay, is $50 a year. That's one jurisdiction on your tax bill, okay? So let's say that it would save another 50 in the county side. That's 100. Oh, and then there's special districts and other things. So let's say that saves another 50. So it's $150 in, you know, decrease in your bill. Now, let's go to the expenditure side. No, because we're dealing with less of more, okay, which means that the city is going to get less revenue, but they're still getting more. They're just getting it slower. Instead of having a 10, 11, 12% increase, they're going to have a 6, 7, 8% increase. It didn't cut any jobs. The jobs that are there right now are already fully funded. So when the rate of growth of government slows down, it doesn't cut the existing jobs. It just means you can't add more expenditures as rapidly as they've been doing. Look, I mean, because I can see the Bexar County numbers literally in my head. A 36% increase in 3 years means that they got $110 more million dollars than they did in 2013, and they're going to get it every year for the rest of our lives. So it's just disingenuous on its face to say that a $50 cut for a homeowner is a bad thing or is not good enough, but at the same time, it's going to cost police jobs. That is just the height of hypocrisy. It's not how budgets really function, and it's not, you know, what SB2 never claws backwards. It doesn't go backwards and take away existing revenue. It slows the growth of government, so the existing jobs are perfectly safe under SB2.
There are cynics out there who think that this is a part of a long-term strategy to kind of create a crisis of taxation, not having enough revenue for cities and counties and other bodies. And then there will be a later movement in order to resolve that crisis to create a statewide sales tax.
Well, Dave, let me say this, okay? The whole purpose of Lieutenant Governor Patrick putting the interim committee on the road was to develop a plan for taxpayers to have, you know, property tax reform and relief. We didn't have any discussion of in any of the interim committees of doing some type of major sales tax swap. And in a slow economic time, it wouldn't even make any sense to have that discussion because you get declining revenues on the sales tax side. Now, but it brings up a good point. And here's the point. Government has to slow down its growth. It doesn't matter whether you're funding it with property tax dollars or sales tax dollars or even, you know, the, you know, constitutionally banned income tax. You can't have government grow at 10, 11, 12% a year. Taxpayers do not have their income go up by that amount. And you've got a gap on the ability to have home ownership as a result. And look, and businesses, we've had people for the first time in the state's history we know of, a major petrochemical outfit decided to take a $2 billion petrochemical plant, you know, not to Texas, but they took it to Louisiana because of tax policy. You have to have a tax policy that lives within everybody's means. The taxpayer's ability to pay is important, and you just can't have I know in the city of San Antonio, the Bexar County area, they've had a 24% increase in the average home's tax bill in 3 years. That's roughly 8% a year, not compounded. There is no fact or supposition of fact that those homeowners are getting an 8% raise. Okay. They're just not.
So okay? You bring
and
up.
So bottom line is that we have to have a method that everybody can live within the taxpayer's ability to pay, and government's going to have to do with less money of growth every year because. Because we just can't have government growing at double digits a year. It'll break every bank we've got from the taxpayer side, both homeowners and business owners.
Okay, last question here. You bring up Louisiana. A refinery goes to Louisiana because of the tax policy. But let's look at Louisiana overall. They are having a budget meltdown. And also, you can just drive from Texas to Louisiana, and as soon as you cross that state line, you immediately tell the difference in roads and services. They're just not there. I mean, do we want San Antonio? Do we want Texas to be at Louisiana level of delivery of services?
Well, no, but we have to recognize the obvious that Texas already has the fifth highest property tax rate in the nation. We're chasing states like Illinois and New York. These are not good states to chase.
We have no other taxing system. I mean, that's...
We've got sales tax too as well, but also those states have income taxes, Illinois and New York as well. Now, New York is in such dire peril of pushing taxpayers out that they actually adopted a 2% increase limit themselves recently. Now, here's why I boil all this back. It's always about choices. See, you know, we want everybody in Texas is proud of San Antonio as a tourist designation. The Senate, we voted $46 million to help the Alamo complex out. We want people to make a choice to come to San Antonio because it's a good place to go and spend tourism dollars. We don't want businesses to decide they're going to leave Texas and go elsewhere because of tax policy. They may be going to a state that has physical meltdowns like Illinois, New York, and even in your case, if it's true about Louisiana. But we don't want them to do that. We want them to stay here and continue to have, bring Texas jobs, Texans jobs, because that's what we want. And what SB 2 does is slow the rate of growth of government, slow the rate of growth of tax bills, and it keeps that $50 in just one taxing jurisdiction on your bill in your pocket as opposed to government's. And then next year we'll keep more money in your pocket and more money after that because it's, again, we've lost the value of compounding. In this case, we want to keep as much money in taxpayers' wallets and purses as opposed to government coffers.
That was Texas Senator Paul Bettencourt of District 7, the chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Property Tax Reform and Relief. He's a chief proponent behind SB 2, a controversial property tax reform bill. When we come back from the break, we'll open up the phone lines. You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. And we'll hear from Bexar County Judge Nelson Wolf about his take on SB 2 and your property taxes. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about state lawmakers debating SB 2. That's a law that's passed the Texas Senate. It's going to the House that could cap the amount of property taxes that can be collected by Texas cities and counties and other local agencies. You can call in with your questions and comments. Number is 210-614-8980. With me now in the studio is County Judge Nelson Wolf. Also here is Michael M. Mesquita, the chief appraiser for the Bexar County Appraisal District. And with me on the line, Daniel Gonzalez, legislative affairs director for the Texas Association of Realtors. Judge Wolf, we just heard from Senator Bettencourt talking about his bill, which would put this cap on property taxes for cities and counties and other local agencies. What is your reaction to his statement, particularly about him saying that when you know we've seen a boon in property values here go up in Bexar County, and that he said first that county governments never reduced the rate in response to that, and then he modified that after questioning, saying they rarely modify that rate.
Well, he doesn't know a lot about Bexar County. Let's start with that, and he's got a lot of distorted facts. I've been in office for 16 years, and over the last 20 years, we've cut the tax rate from 3.88 down to 30.8, or 8 points. And what we did, I don't know where he got those figures from 2013 to 2017, but the tax rate in 2013 was 32.6. We brought that down to 30.8. What he's distorting, and this is a big distortion, I might add, we are growing community, and in those 4 years he's talking about roughly, we've probably had over 100,000 new people move into San Antonio. Our population has grown by that. So yes, we've had a big increase in construction, and we do live off of that new increase, but that's not what's doing to existing property values. We also put in place a freeze on property tax for homeowners over 65 years old, eligible spouses, and for disabled. We also have a homestead addition. So what we've been able to do, manage that tax rate, bring it down over these long period of time, we have grown about 2.5 to 3% on the existing property values. That is below the 4 or 5 that he's talking about, but that's over a 20-year period. There are some times we go down below the effective rate, sometimes we go higher. For instance, crime is up. You think that costs you money? Of course it does. We had to appropriate over almost $1 million, 900 and some odd million, just 2 weeks ago because we got more people in jail. So from year to year, it depends on the spike of crime and other things that are happening. And so overall, we can live with that. But from year to year, it's very difficult.
So you're questioning his numbers and the rationale for explaining why SB 2 is needed. But if SB 2 does pass in the form that we see it today, what mm-hmm. impact would that have on Bexar County to provide the level of services that it has now?
Well, that's hard to say. Again, we're living off of new construction by and large is what we're living off of. And as long as our community is growing and we're having to service over 100,000 more people in the last year, it's going to cost you more to do that. You're going to have more crime. You're going to have more streets you got to fix.
But a lot of people are moving to the area outside of the city limits,
yes,
and into
are.
The county.
We have something close to, I don't know, 350,000, 400,000 that live out in the area.
That's now, like a Waco right outside of San Antonio.
We're growing a town the size of Waco in Northwest. So we operate on 30 cents. Now, just keep this number in mind. City is at 59, I think, 57, 58, 59. School districts are at $1.50, five times ours. And that's where the legislature – is taking tremendous advantage of property taxes. It's hypocrisy on their part. Mr. Amesquita will explain how that school property tax comes about, but just you want to see some big numbers. If they really want to have the problem, they are forced through their appraisal systems that they set and that Mr. Amesquita's got to follow. They've had property taxes go up from $14 billion in 2002 to $20 billion statewide in 2013, just for schools. And at the same time, they dropped school state funding from $20 billion to $16 billion. That's where the money is, 55% of it. They're chopping around the edges on what is really an issue that is not meaningful. If they really want to be concerned about property taxes, what's driving it, they are driving it, and they're driving it by forcing people to spend more money for schools at the local level.
And so what does, as you understand it, Judge Wolf, does SB2 do for cutting the bill for school taxes then, but as a property owner?
I don't think that's changed under
it's
the
untouched.
System it is. It's continuing to be a tremendous growth in the property, local property taxes. And on top of that, you know, they give us mandates. Like, we didn't have to pay for indigent defense. They passed that bill 10 years ago. Our cost on indigent defense has gone up to $69 million just because of that one bill. We're having to pay for highways that we never had to pay before because they are not meeting their responsibilities. Bexar County's had to put up something like $500 million for 281, for 1604, for State Highway, where Calabria is and where Bandera is and Petranco is and where IH-10 is. They don't meet their responsibilities. They want to holler about us, and at the same time, they dump down on us cost that they should be paying for.
But the money's got to come from somewhere. If the city, if the county is unable to collect the same amount of revenue that you would, you know, mm-hmm. are used to collecting, does mm-hmm. that mean a reduction in what, public safety?
I can't say that. We'll live whatever the hell they pass. And I'm not sure.
Well, how much difference would it be? So you have to go up to just under
5%. 5% now.
You just got to make sure you don't hit that magic 5% if this goes into
effect. We will never go over that. Whatever they put.
So, like, how often do you hit that number now?
Probably, I'd have to guess. I'd say in the last few years, we've barely been over, I know, at least once. And that's when crime started spiking. We did go over that. But the problem is we don't know what other mandates they're going to shove down on us. We don't know how much crime is going to increase, and our budget's going up very high now for crime. We just don't know those things. And that's why it's so hard to understand the implication of this. Now, this business about calling an election, no county commissioner's court, no city hall will in their right mind ever call an election. First of all, it costs $900,000 to call one. Are we going to ask taxpayers to pay $900,000 to call a special election to raise their taxes? It'll lose by 65%. So nobody's going to be that stupid.
Yeah, that's what Prop 13 lost by up in California in the late
1970s. So that's never going to happen.
But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I want to turn the microphone over to Michael Amesquita, the chief appraiser for the Bexar County Appraisal District, talk about some of the other parts of SB2, which would change how the board oversees what you do and how people can appeal their property tax bill, what he sees in these numbers, what are some remedies that are out there. They understand that people are feeling the squeeze. Also, Daniel Gonzalez is waiting online. He's a legislative affairs director for the Texas Association of Realtors. We'll get their take on what SB2 means for homeowners or people who sell homes. And you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about SB2 up in Austin, and that is a proposed law that would cap property taxes. The counties and cities and other local taxing agencies could only collect a revenue increase of 5%. If it goes over that, then they have to have a rollback election. Let me hear from Daniel Gonzalez, and after that we'll go to Michael Amesquita, the chief appraiser for Bexar County Appraisal District. So Daniel Gonzalez at the Texas Association of Realtors, what is your take on SB2?
Hi, Dave. SB2 and House Bill 15 are great bills. I mean, they bring more transparency and honesty to the local tax rate setting process. I think all this talk of the sky's falling, that no one will ever vote to raise taxes, is just incorrect, and I think it's misleading and deceptive.
So tell me what you mean by the sky is falling. Who said the sky is falling? So, Daniel, who said the sky is falling?
Oh, I think local taxing entities are saying the sky is falling. You and including your radio program continue to say that this caps revenue at the local level, and that's completely incorrect, Dave. These bills don't cap revenue, and I'd love for you and anyone else to show me in both of these bills where that language exists. It does not exist in these bills.
So by saying that, is that the same as saying the sky is falling?
Absolutely it is, because if they're saying that this caps revenue, then you know they won't be able to do what they want to do. They're going to have to lay off, you know, fire, police, EMS. You know, one question we have is, why are first responders always on the cutting block first? This whole
discussion. So Daniel, have you looked at how the budget is made up for cities and counties, and how much of that is first responders?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. We certainly have, but again,
so that's why.
Know, if we're going to allow, you know, if local officials want to fund their slush funds first. And then
so what's wait. So Daniel, slush fund. Tell me about a slush fund.
What do you mean a slush fund?
You just said slush fund. If they want to fund their slush funds first, tell me about the slush funds. I'd love to hear about that.
Oh, absolutely. If they want to fund what they need for their own office holder accounts first, and then whatever money is left over for first responders, then that's certainly their prerogative. They can certainly do that at the local level. But I think that's one question that taxpayers in Bexar County and all across this great state need to start asking their local officials, is why are first responders always the first on the cutting block?
I didn't understand what you meant by slush fund. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Okay, I'm sorry you don't understand that, Dave.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's because it's, you know, my understanding of what a slush fund is, it's probably different than what you're calling it. So I'd like to know more about that.
Sure. No, again, you know, as I just said, and I'll just say it again, if local office holders want to fund their office holder accounts first, you can call it whatever you want. I call it slush fund. You can call it office holder account, whatever you want to call it. If they want to fund non-emergency items first and then whatever money is left over and fund those critical services, then that's fine. But we would take the position that critical services should always be funded first. And this whole notion that critical services will be cut in our mind is just a scare tactic.
Okay, and so talk about how SB2 would be able to do more for, you know, I guess since you're with the Association of Realtors, for your constituents.
Sure. So our constituents are all property owners in Texas, and what SB2 and House Bill 15 will do was create more transparency and honesty at the local level, and not allow local officials to hide behind increased property values to justify higher budgets and larger budgets. And that's exactly what we've seen all across the state of Texas, including Bexar County. You know, we have local officials, who say that they cut the tax rate, when in reality the tax rate is being increased from the effective tax rate. They're like, you know, local officials like to say, well, we're saving hundreds of millions of dollars for taxpayers by, you know, adopting this tax rate, when in reality they're spending more money, hundreds of millions of dollars, more and more money, because the effective tax rate is not adopted. And they are not being honest and transparent with where that money is going.
Okay. So let me go to Michael Mesquita. We haven't heard from you yet, the chief appraiser for the Bexar County Appraisal District. When we hear from Daniel Gonzalez from the Texas Association of Realtors saying that even though you're cutting the tax rate, you're not really cutting the tax rate. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm not going to try to read Daniel's mind. I think what he's saying is, since the appraisal district doesn't have anything to do with tax rate setting, as values go up, tax rates just aren't coming down commensurately. And I'm not sure that that's not necessarily true in a lot of different ways. But I will say this. I always feel like our responsibility is to follow what Texas law is. And law right now requires us to appraise all property to 100% of market value. It also provides avenues for property owners to appeal those values. SB2 goes a long way to expanding those appeals to commercial property owners. The average value of a home in Bexar County is somewhere around $200,000. SB2 expands binding arbitration, which was just expanded a session or so ago, from $1 million to $3 million to $3 million to $5 million. That's not to the benefit of homeowners. That's to the benefit of commercial property owners. We expected to see because Senator Betancourt mentioned he thought that the amount of litigation would go down, my litigation went up by almost $4 billion the year we increased the binding arbitration rate. I expect it'll go up next year. What's frightening to me is we make all taxpayers in Texas pay for this appeal system, and less than a tenth, or actually about 10% of the total population, take advantage of it. This is a completely aggressive form of property tax protest by commercial owners. And that difference in tax liability, where these homeowners, where these commercial owners end up getting their value reduced by 40 or 50%, falls to the local taxpayer. That generally, homeowners and small businesses that don't have the wherewithal to fund these types of appeals.
Daniel Gonzalez, your reaction to that?
Oh, no, I think, you know, certainly there are some good things in Senate Bill 2, and you know, I think the binding arbitration, you know, statute really is, it's meant to take people out of the courtroom and to ensure that, you know, they do have a voice. And it really was meant for the homeowners, as Mike mentioned. And, you know, but there certainly are some small business owners as well who may be hitting up against that cap. And I think what the legislature is trying to do is just trying to allow another alternative for people to have a say when they protest their value without actually having to go to court. And I think that would try to hopefully it would save money for Mike and his group. But, you know, that I think that's the intent of what the legislature is trying to do.
So Daniel Gonzalez at the Texas Association of Realtors, how about as a compromise, if this becomes law, allowing that property sales tax, property sales disclosure, the price of property being sold, that way that people like Michael and Mesquita, these appraisers, can get the real value of these properties on the books?
Yeah, sure. We can certainly do that. But unfortunately, there have been statements by chief appraisers in the past that it's their job to raise revenue for local taxing entities. We also know that some chief appraisers across Texas, when they are presented with a closing document, don't always take that information from the property owner. We also know that there's a bill that's being advocated for by chief appraisers this session that would actually not allow sales price to be used for certain commercial properties. So, you know, we can certainly do that, but we need to ensure that if we're going to have that law in Texas, we need to make sure that information will be accepted by the appraisal district one way or another.
Okay, so chief appraiser Michael Mesquita, do you see your job as to be the money getter for the county and other agencies?
Absolutely not. I mean, I spend most of my time on your radio show and visiting with neighborhood associations, trying to inform people how to constructively file a winning appeal, because we have absolutely no dog in that fight. Our job is to do what the state requires us to do and appraise all property at 100% of value. And then we're supposed to facilitate taxpayer appeals. By and large, when homeowners come to my office, 80% of those folks are satisfied in my office. The remaining 20% that are scheduled for the formal, half of those won't show. Maybe 10% actually show up of those that appealed. Maybe we'll have 10,000 hearings in a year. 90% of those folks get something.
Also, following up on what Daniel Gonzalez said, do you, if you got the real selling price of a piece of property, would you reject that and assign some other value?
I'm sure that there's some crazy chief appraiser who's done something somewhere along the lines that Daniel says. Daniel's a good person. But the fact of the matter is any chief appraiser would be foolish, because all you have to do is be sued and walk into a court of law, then present a closing statement, and that is the number you're going to accept as a matter of law. Why would I be foolish enough to not accept that on its face?
So if we were able to get a compromise in the House as they work on SB2, trying to, and they assigned, okay, let's include this property sales disclosure, would that be a benefit?
I think as long as it's on all property, we're already more accurate on homeowners than we are on commercial property, just because there's more information readily available. There's always been compromises over the years that have been attempted to be struck to only make it on residential property. I'm not interested on being any more accurate on just residential property. The entire file needs to be accurately reflecting what the market is. That's what's in the Constitution. That's what's in our state statutes.
And real quickly, County Judge Nelson Wolf, do you have a slush fund?
I don't know what he's talking about. We don't have any.
So he says like your personal funds. You have some sort of personal account that you fund
No, I have absolutely none. Let me just come back very quickly. First of all, the legislature set up 4,000 different taxing authorities in the state of Texas. That's their own creations. They took the school districts and jammed down to local taxpayers the vast cost of public education. That's 55% of the total tax roll. Bexar County's tax part of the tax roll here locally is about 18%. We're at 30 cents, schools up to $1.50. That's where they need to be concentrating. We have 25, 30,000 new people every year growing in San Antonio. So that revenue that's coming in from that new growth has nothing to do with the appraisals of existing properties. And we do live off of that new growth. You have to provide services for that many more people every year. If we're not a growth community, that's a different situation. So the bill, while it has some good intentions on the 5%, first of all, I'm pleased it went from 4 to 5, it's not addressing the real property tax problem.
Okay, we're going to talk more.
I wish they would.
Talk more about that when we come back. We'll take these callers, 210-614-8980, your property bill on SB2. This is The Source. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis. We're talking about SB2. It's working its way through Austin right now. It could put a cap on the amount of property taxes that can be collected by Texas counties and cities and other local government agencies. We invite you into the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. And Rhett is on the line. And Rhett, hi, welcome to The Source. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, David. And thank you so much. This is so important. Number one, I really appreciate the expertise of your guest. I'm concerned about the taxpayers that are really living in poverty. I think Judge Wolf said that we give seniors a break and we give other people a break. But, you know, we really need to find a way, and we were talking about all kinds of taxes, you know, property sales fees, on and on, income taxes. But also some of our officials have extremely high salaries that that's come, you know, the taxpayer has to pay for that. And so when we're really trying to cut back and save money, and you're looking at, you know, I'm thinking of the city of San Antonio officials are making a lot of money, and that's probably true in other cities. And also, what about the crime rate? I'm glad you brought this up, because I'm worried about, you know, are we really focusing on ways that we can deal with it? And I know that property taxes maybe are not something that criminals think about, but I think a community that doesn't, you know, have some way to deal with the increased violence, then, you know, we're kind of defeating our own purpose. And I'll let you all answer that.
All right, Rhett, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. Let me switch over to Daniel Gonzalez from the Texas Association of Realtors to get his reaction. Do you think that salaries are a problem?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if necessarily they're a problem. I think that's something that every local taxpayer should be aware of, and they should, if they certainly believe that that Judge Wolf and others are making too much money, certainly, you know, they should go visit with them. But, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and say that salaries are too high, because some folks actually don't make any money doing their service to the public at all. But certainly that could be an issue in some localities, and if it is, I would certainly hope that the local taxpayers would get involved and hold their folks accountable.
And Daniel Gonzalez, also, we heard from Rhett talking about the freezes that we have for senior citizens and others in the vulnerable population, homeowners. How do you think that's working well?
I think it is working well. I think certainly there's a lot of additional work that can be done at the local level. You know, the legislature does have a state-mandated homestead exemption for school property taxes only, but they also do allow, the Constitution does allow for a local option homestead exemption, and many local entities do afford a local option homestead exemption for over 65 as well as under 65. But certainly there are many local entities who don't go up all the way to the cap, which is a 20% local option cap. So certainly there can be some more work done there to alleviate some of the property tax burden on taxpayers across Texas.
Let me turn over to Michael and Mesquita, and some of the changes that are being proposed for how the board for the appraisal districts across Texas with SB2, what would change?
In its original form, before the committee substitute for SB2 had been adopted and ultimately passed from the Senate, they had that all of the board members had to be elected officials from the local jurisdictions. Currently, we have three elected officials on our board. One ex officio non-voting member, our county assessor. I have a county commissioner on the board, and I have a city council member on the board. But the way it stands now, that's been changed back to just let the local jurisdictions appoint whomever they wish. In some cases, the other half of my boards are just citizens, and they get zero compensation for being on my board.
Daniel Gonzalez, what do you think about the changes that are being proposed for the, how the boards that oversee the appraisal districts?
Well, we actually were able to get a change in the Senate Bill 2 originally as filed, and as it went to the Senate floor, included a provision that required a board a director's member to be an elected official. And our concern with that provision was that it was going to introduce politics back into the system, and that's exactly why we have a central appraisal system right now, is because we want to take politics out of the appraisal system, and that's why the legislature passed the central appraisal system in 1979. We felt this provision, if it was going to be included, was going to reintroduce politics into the system, and that's not what taxpayers are asking for. They're not asking for a mayor or county judge or county commissioner or city council member to be on the board of directors, which hires and fires the chief appraiser, and that creates their budget, their annual budget, from setting their appraisal value, then also turning around and setting their tax rate. That's not what people are asking for. We need more transparency and more separation between the taxing entities and the appraisal district.
So Judge Nelson Wolf, if SB2 gets passed into law, what will it mean for the average homeowner, and what would it mean for your revenue running the county?
Well, on average, it's not going to do anything to our revenues. It's just that when we get spikes is when the trouble comes. If the bill was, say, a 5% average over 5 years, that would be very easy for us to administer. It's these spikes that we cannot control, as I mentioned earlier.
But if you have a spike, then when you also have support from the community as well, they would understand that.
The only time I ever remember that being taken to voters was when Mayor Cockrell was mayor, and she said she's going to hire some more police with it. Guess what? They defeated it 65% of the vote. Voters aren't going to do that. We do live in a republic, and they expect us to make the hard decisions. We are very, very conscious of property taxpayers. That's why we've brought down that property tax, why we've lived with about a 2.5 to 3% over the whole 16 years I've been there. But we do have spikes, and we're having one now. And I don't know the implications of all of that yet. All I know is we had to appropriate another $900,000 just a few weeks ago because of our rising jail population. We're targeting a lot of dangerous individuals out there right now, and we ought to be doing that. So our jail is going to get stuffed. Our cost is going up in law enforcement. That's the kind of spikes that we don't have any control of. And so, sometimes you have to spend more money to handle public safety or some of the others than you would, say, in another year, but you try to balance it out by reducing it before it. As long as we're continuing to grow, and that's where he's just starting the numbers, we are living, by and large, off of new growth. And there is nothing wrong with that at all.
Until it stops growing.
And if it stops growing, then you got a problem.
All right, Jesse, which I think we got this worked out now. Jesse, you there, buddy?
Yes.
All right,
sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Real quick.
Real quick, hey, I am a homeowner, and I live in the, my property taxes went up to $10,000. This year, and that was unfair. And I live in the southwest part of town where homes are really valued at $40,000. And when I went to the tax appraisal to appeal, they said the reason why is because a house just down the street was sold for $100,000. And this is the problem. We have these realtors, independent people that buy ugly houses, and they sell it and they value it, well, they sell it for way more than what the houses are worth there. And that's unfair for the homeowners. And I think it's going on around everywhere.
Okay, okay, Jesse, it's happened in my neighborhood, too. So let me get the reaction from our chief appraiser, Michael Mesquita.
Well, that shouldn't be happening. I mean, what we're supposed to do is look at those properties that have been in whatever part of town they're in. We're looking at the properties that have been remodeled, the ones that have not been remodeled, assuming we're in an older part of the neighborhood.
But Jesse could appeal that.
Pardon me?
He could appeal it.
Oh, absolutely. And
then you would help him.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, my direct number is 210-242-2411. I will get him in touch with the right people in my office and get him all of our information, give him all the information he needs to present to the review board if he's not successful in getting a reduction with my staff. But I feel pretty certain he's probably like 80% of the rest of Bexar County residents, and he'll settle with my staff.
So, just in real closing, real quick, values are going up. My son's been trying to buy a house for the last 2 months. He made an offer on one at the sales price. Somebody offered more. He lost it. The last one, he offered more than what the person was asking for. He's going to buy that house. So, yeah, the appraisal district has a hard time keeping up with that. But values are going up, and people are making a lot of money on selling their existing homes and properties in Bexar County.
So, Daniel Gonzalez, you know something about that. You're with the Texas Association of Realtors. So it doesn't seem like the market is hurting with the current system.
No, I think the market's great. I mean, the good thing is Texas is doing very well when compared to all the other states in the union. People want to move here. We do have a great environment, business environment, tax environment. We have great counties like Bexar County and the city of San Antonio that people want to move to. But this whole vilification of appraisal increases is wrong. You know, if your value goes up, that's indicative of a great local and state economy. What's not good is the ever-increasing property tax bill that comes along with that increased property value. And that's all we're trying to do is make sure that, you know, if a local entity needs more money, they can certainly raise that money that they need to. But let's just be honest with people as they talk about why the tax rate is at the level that it needs to be.
But the reason why people are moving here under the current system, you know, and if we try to cut services because to meet these new requirements, could that disrupt that the equation?
I don't think services are going to be cut. I think certainly, you know, under the current system or under a system with Senate Bill 2 and House Bill 15, cities and counties and every other local taxing entity will still be able to run as they currently are doing right now. You know, as I said earlier, over 80+% or maybe I didn't, but over 80+% of all bond elections across the state of Texas passed. So we are willing to go to voters and ask them to increase their property tax bill when we talk about bond debt, but for some reason we don't believe that they're going to approve an increase in the tax rate when it comes to the maintenance and operation side of the equation.
Sure, but okay, I got to cut you off there, Daniel. We're running out of time. I appreciate that. Daniel Gonzalez, he's the Legislative Affairs Director for the Texas Association of Realtors. Also with me in the studio, Nelson Wolf, the Bexar County Judge. I appreciate that. And Michael Mesquita, the Chief Appraiser for the Bexar County Appraisal District. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.